There was a time when John was known far and wide for his seriousness. He was the kind of guy who could turn even a clown convention into a lecture on economic theory. One day his friends, worried that he was missing out on the lighter side of life, asked him to inject a bit of humor into his worldview. It wasn't just about cracking jokes. They wanted him to ponder whether life itself was serious or funny. John mulled over this existential question with the intensity of a philosopher, staring into the abyss. His doctor chimed in with a diagnosis, stating John had had a nervous breakdown. His mother, in her maternal wisdom, felt the solution was far more unconventional. Why not drug his wine bottle? After all, laughter is the best medicine, right? She mused, though perhaps it wasn't the best advice from a loving mother. John's mother believed his seriousness stemmed from his devotion to the Bible, and so she thought a little chemical intervention might lighten him up. One evening, without John's knowledge, she slipped some LSD into his wine. She believed this would make him see life in a more relaxed, colorful way. As expected, when John took a sip, he was in for quite the psychedelic experience. Suddenly, the lines between seriousness and humor blurred. John found himself contemplating whether he should laugh or cry at the absurdity of it all. His mother, watching her now dazed son, remarked, "Well, that's my head for you. If you don't fall asleep, I can give you more and you'll be knocked out for 3 years." In a bewildering state, John realized that perhaps life was not just about being serious or funny. It was about finding balance. Sometimes you need to embrace the absurd, laugh at the chaos, and recognize that life's unpredictability is what makes it so profoundly human and richly humorous. John's mother, with her misguided intentions, had set in motion a series of events that further blurred the lines between reality and illusion. "That's why we can't truly know you," she remarked, her voice tinged with a mix of regret and resolve. The wine bottle, now a symbol of unpredictability, had transformed John's life into a kaleidoscope of shifting perspectives. "If you control the bottle, you control your mind," she mused. The bottle, with its potent contents, had become an omnipresent threat. In a culture that feared the unknown and those who wielded it, John's mother became the embodiment of that fear. Her influence, though, was meant to lighten his seriousness, had left John grappling with questions of control and autonomy. "Once it starts, no one knows where they are anymore," she said, hinting at the chaos that ensued from tampering with the mind. The boundaries between John's rationality and the drug-induced hallucinations became increasingly indistinct. She believed that by altering his perception, she could free him from the shackles of his serious demeanor. But John's mind, although altered, began to see through the haze. He recognized the fear of losing control was central to understanding human nature. The wine bottle, with its promise of escape, held a paradox. It offered freedom, but at the cost of clarity. "If you don't fall asleep, I can give you some more, and you'll be knocked out for 3 years," she said, a chilling proposition, a reminder of the consequences of surrendering to such intervention. The idea of controlling one's mind through substances harked back to an age-old American fear, the fear of losing oneself. "America has always feared this person," she admitted, referring to the archetype of the drug wielder, the manipulator of consciousness. John realized that the wine bottle was not just about the drugs. It symbolized a deeper struggle for control and autonomy. Children, in their innocence, might view the bottle as a magical object, not understanding its true implications. "They are central as kids," she explained. But for adults, the bottle represented a dangerous allure, a temptation to escape from the burdens of reality. John's epiphany came with a heavy heart. "You yourself do not have to continue with bread. You have to die with us in a mass suicide." His mother's words echoed with a tragic finality. He understood that life's seriousness was not something to escape, but understood that life's seriousness was not something to escape, but to embrace. The absurdity of his situation revealed that life was a blend of both humor and gravity, each complementing each other. In that moment, John chose to reclaim his agency. He saw the wine bottle for what it was, a symbol of his struggle. By confronting it, he could find a balance between the seriousness of life and the humor within it. In doing so, he realized that life's true essence lay in navigating both with grace and resilience.